The 2024 elections are poised to be extremely contentious up and down the ballot, and potentially adding to the strife is content generated by artificial intelligence, which has the ability to misrepresent candidates and mislead voters. In light of these risks, state policymakers are being urged to take actions that might curb the potential threats to our democracy. For more on the issue, we're joined by Daniel Wiener, who serves as director of the Brennan Center's Elections and Government Program. Welcome to the show, Daniel.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, what are some of the ways that artificial intelligence or computer technology more broadly can be used to mislead voters, which you think is particularly egregious?
Well, I really appreciate the question. And the way we tend to see, the latest advances in Gen AI and similar technology is kind of as a threat amplifier, and particularly around the threat of disinformation, right? So what we're seeing now is the availability of technology that can allow, even relatively unsophisticated folks to create fairly convincing deep fake visual and audio depictions of candidates and others to mislead voters. And I think, also potentially discredit the electoral process itself. And certainly we've seen that popping up already in New York with some impersonations of elected officials and candidates. And we're seeing that nationally. We saw a deepfake audio of President Biden in the New Hampshire primary. We've seen deepfakes of former President Trump circulated by his opponents. So really the potential, to deceive voters, which was already a problem, is just getting worse. And this is why this is sort of becoming a really pressing issue for our elections.
Well, how would you like to see the state regulate this evolving area?
Sure. Again, great question. And I think, this is a complex problem. But I think a really, really important first step is to just ensure a modicum of transparency, right? So, if someone is going to disseminate a synthetic image of a candidate targeting an election, they need to disclose that that image is synthetic. Voters have a right to know. And I think that that is a really important kind of low-hanging fruit. And, I recognize that the election is almost upon us, that these are complex issues, but I think that that is an achievable thing that the state can do before the 2024 election, and that's what we're calling for right now.
Well, when it comes to disclosure, what is a meaningful disclosure of, say, a synthetic image being used? Is it at the very end of an ad, some sort of text just pops up? Does it need to be something prior to something being shown that viewers need to be made clear of what they're about to see?
Yeah, that's such a great question. What I think is that this is actually something that's been studied already, because in the realm of money, right, we already require campaign ads often to disclose who paid for them, right? And there's been actually a lot of research on what is effective. And in my mind, it is some sort of real-time disclosure that says, for instance, this image has been manipulated, or this audio clip has been manipulated, and it has to be prominent enough so that voters won't miss it. In the context of a video or an image, it's usually, displayed in characters, crawling through the image under. In the context of an audio clip, it would have to be, played either probably at the beginning of the clip, ideally, or in the middle. So the key thing, and usually this is something that regulators set sort of more specific requirements for, is that it be prominent enough so voters can't miss it.
And what if it's content not generated by a political campaign? What sort of authority does the state have to regulate maybe an individual actor creating a video of President Biden or former President Trump,
right,
that could then go viral on the internet?
Well, that's also a great question. And so what the law and the Supreme Court have said, right, is that if an ad is targeting an election, where there's some indication that it's intending to influence voters, you can treat it as a campaign ad. And what you do is you look to the content of the ad, you look to the timing, the proximity to the election, And then that you know, is something that you can require transparency for. And that actually comes from the Citizens United decision, where, you know, the Supreme Court generally said that non-candidates have a right to spend money to influence voters, but it really emphasized that transparency is an important component of that. And the state has every right to require voters to be given the information they need to make informed decisions. So you can go beyond candidates and parties. I think, you know, there are questions about if you start to range more broadly of requiring transparency for issue ads and sort of broader public debate. And that's why we're sort of focusing right now in the days before the election, you know, in the months before the election, on the low-hanging fruit, which is just making sure those campaign-targeted communications, whether from candidates or others, are subject to appropriate transparency.
Before we move on, let me reintroduce you for listeners just joining us. This is the Capitol Press Room, and we're speaking with Daniel Wiener, who serves as director of the Brennan Center's Elections and Government Program. So I think a lot of us, when we think about artificially generated content, we're thinking about images or video, but there's also the potential just for standalone audio. And we've heard in New York City how the mayor has used tools to have himself delivering messages to constituents in other languages. Would that type of outreach, if done for political purposes, need to come with some disclosure under the regulations you're talking about?
You know, if it were done for campaign purposes, yes. And again, there would be no bar necessarily on him doing that. It would just be needing to disclose that that was a synthetically generated audio clip. And audio, I really am glad you brought up audio, because, you know, the Biden robocalls in New Hampshire were audio. And abroad, we actually saw a national election in Slovakia, of all places, that may have actually, the outcome may have been determined by audio deepfakes. Obviously, you can't tell for sure, but a very close election was swayed by last minute deepfakes of a leading candidate for prime minister engaging in a fictitious conversation. So audio is very important. I think that the example of Mayor Adams, you know, does underscore why you need to take a nuanced approach here, because there's nothing necessarily bad about him using technology to reach constituents. The point is not that, you know, we want to punish someone for doing that, but that we need to have transparency, because people deserve to know what they are viewing and what people are trying to say to them. So in general, the legislative proposals on the books right now that we're focused on, at least, would not require disclaimers for just general audio communications to constituents. But if you were doing it to try to influence voters, yes, that would need to be labeled.
Sticking with the idea then that this is a nuanced issue, when would the use of artificial intelligence trigger this requirement? For example, if it was really the candidate on the video, but maybe the backdrop was artificially generated, or they were using a speech that had been informed by a tool like ChatGPT, would that require a disclosure?
Well, that's a great question. And there are several different proposals on the table right now. And, you know, things are still somewhat in flux. I would say that and the most important thing is that if you see, you know, synthetically generated images of candidates, you know, intending to influence voters, particularly for the purpose of discrediting the candidate or harming their reputation, that is the most important thing where you need transparency. I think that there's a case for, you know, transparency in campaign ads where there's sort of broader manipulation. But again, you need to be careful, because you don't want to just require disclaimers to be slapped on everything. So I think that's somewhat up for debate. I would tend to come down on, you know, really having candidates, having the transparency for candidate depictions right now, maybe for some other substantial use of AI in campaign ads. But I do think you need to be very, very careful about, you know, creating a requirement where a disclaimer ends up appearing on everything. And then, you know, it sort of loses some of its value.
Is this a heightened issue due to a lack of political and media literacy. I have to imagine if people were maybe more savvy consumers, then it wouldn't be as easy for them to be misled by political advertising that was not necessarily the real thing.
Well, you know, as I said before, AI tends to amplify existing problems. It's less, more that than it is sort of some freestanding new thing. And I think you're absolutely right. I think disinformation generally, you know, feeds off of media illiteracy and people's susceptibility to manipulation. And I think that there's a lot we need to do to make people savvier consumers of the messages they receive. This is only one part of a much broader strategy. You know, we are also particularly invested in lifting up trusted voices. And that particularly goes not so much to, you know, interpreting messages about candidates, but also just interpreting messages about the basic integrity of the electoral process. And, you know, it's a very important to us, right, that voters, you know, look to their local election officials, for instance, and their state election officials for information on voting and on the details of the electoral process. So, yeah, I absolutely think you're right. I think that, you know, you never want to let the perfect be the enemy of the good. This, you know, transparency for certain types of deepfakes that target voters is really important, but it's one part of a much broader strategy.
Well, unfortunately, we're going to have to leave it there. We've been speaking with Daniel Wiener. He serves as the director of the Brennan Center's Elections and Government Program. Daniel, thank you so much for making the time. I really appreciate it.
It was a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Support for the Capitol Press Room is provided by Resorts World New York. With over 1 million square feet of space to play, relax, and celebrate, Resorts World New York City hosts more than 5 million visitors a year. That makes Resorts World a significant social and economic partner for local businesses and residents alike. Through its operations and outreach programs, Resorts World has generated more than $4 billion for the state educational system and 1,400 jobs for the people of Queens. More information at rwnewyork.com.